is amazing grace. Amazing grace. Hallelujah. That saved a wretch like me. Sometimes we don't realize what a wretch we were until we get to know Jesus a little better. And we see, oh, just how much we really needed him. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. So many people in this world, the God of this world has blinded their eyes. We take the light of the gospel to them. The good news of God's grace to see people set free, to see their lives changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, worship team. Just two of you left, huh? Well, I appreciate our worship team. And you notice we got a few missing this morning. They're gone on the youth retreat. Several of our worship leaders are part of our youth leadership. And so they're with the youth this morning. And our youth are out this morning as well, obviously. And they'll be back at noon or shortly thereafter today. And I know that they have had a life-changing experience. And we just thank the Lord for that and pray for safe travel for them on their way home today. And as always, let's pray to prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord. Father, we just open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord would cause us to be able to understand spiritual truth, things that the carnal mind just can't get. And Father, we just believe you for that, Lord, that our lives would be changed by the power of your word today, that we'll go out into this world with the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing our series that grace is for everyone. This morning, I want to share with you the good news of God's grace. Grace. It really is good news. Unmerited favor of God upon our lives. How wonderful to know that God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God's against you, it doesn't matter who's for you. But he is for us because of his grace. Not because that we're good, but because he's good. Because of his undeserved favor in our lives. And I'm telling you, it is by grace we have been saved. I preached that message that salvation is for all. It is available to all who will put their faith in Jesus Christ. And we preached the message about the gift of righteousness. Nobody can deserve or earn God's righteousness. It has to be a free gift. Nobody can live up to the standards of the law. But by the grace of God, we have received the gift of righteousness. We have been reconciled with him. We are right with God. We're in right relationship with him, all by his grace. God's grace really is good news. And you know what? It's such good news, we can't keep it to ourselves. 1 John 2:2 says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. Not for the sins of a select few or certain ones. It says the sins of the whole world. Jesus paid a price for the sins of the whole world. His blood was enough to pay the price for all men of all time. It's for everybody. Jesus brought grace and truth into the world. The Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, let's read John chapter 1, verse 14. And then we'll read 16 and 17. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Then in verse 16 and 17, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. I just love that verse. One blessing after another. how it is from His grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace came through Jesus Christ. Listen, it's been 2,000 years since He came and brought grace with Him. Grace and truth. And yet people still have a hard time struggling to really come under that grace. It's not a struggle. It's a free gift. People still want to live under the law. We still have that old tendency to want to live under the law of, well, if I do this and I do this and I do this, then I'll be considered good in God's eyes. I'll be considered righteous and maybe He'll bless me. No, we are not under law, but under grace. Romans 6:14 says the exact same thing again. Romans 6:15, you are not under law, but under grace. Who's under grace? Everybody that believes in Jesus. And I'm telling you, grace is such good news. Acts 20 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul is talking about what the Holy Spirit has been revealing to him, that he has to go to Jerusalem, but when he gets to Jerusalem, things are going to get tough. And this is what he says about that in verse 24. I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He says, listen, my life is worth nothing to me compared to this task of sharing the gospel of God's grace. He knew that he was going to face imprisonment. He knew that he was going to be persecuted there, and yet he said, it's worth it to me because I've got to finish the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. The gospel of God's grace. Now, most of us know the word gospel just simply means good news. It is the good news of God's grace. God's grace, the good news of God's grace. You see, that good news that we're supposed to preach, it is a message of grace. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul had such a call on his life, and all of us are not called to vocational ministry. I used to say all of us are not called to full-time ministry, but I don't really believe that's accurate. I believe all of us are called to full-time ministry. We got too many part-time Christians. We're all called to full-time ministry. And whatever your job, you're ultimately serving God there at that workplace. You're in full-time ministry. Yes. You may not be called to vocational ministry, but you're called to full-time ministry. But more than that, I want to get at this. We might not be called to go to the mission field and travel into dark places and preach the gospel for the first time like the Apostle Paul did. But all of us should have that same kind of passion for sharing the gospel. All of us should feel that same burden that even if our life is in danger, no matter what it costs us, we are compelled to testify to the grace of God. Amen. We're so blessed in this country. There's not many of us whose lives are going to be in danger by sharing the gospel of grace. No, we're just worried that somebody's going to think we're a nut. But I tell you, we need to share it. We need to be passionate about it. We need to be excited about it. You know, people get excited about the silliest stuff. They will scream and shout and jump up and down over a football. And what's really crazy, some people get excited about golf. I don't... Moving right along. But how much more should we be excited and be passionate about the gospel of grace that sets people free, that changes people's lives. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And you know, some people say, well, not me. I don't get excited about nothing. Well, that's a shame. I'm telling you, the Bible says never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. It's Romans 12:11. Don't ever be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, we don't need to get under condemnation about this morning. See, condemnation always beats people down. Condemnation will ultimately push you down and oppress you and drive you away from God. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will always call you higher and draw you closer to God. There's a big difference between condemnation and conviction. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will always call you higher and closer. Amen. So, you know, I hope you hear that this morning. This isn't to condemn us because, oh, we haven't been a witness or been excited enough or had a burden enough for the loss, but it is to challenge us and call us higher that we do have a job to do. Amen. We've been commissioned. We have a responsibility to take this gospel of grace to the world. Here at Grace Church, our vision is to reach people to see changed lives. And what changes lives? Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It is the good news that changes lives. It's not doctrine. It's not the teaching of man. It's not rules and regulations. It's the good news that changes lives. You're going to hell is not good news. You're a sinner is not good news. You're bad and the things you do are bad. That's not good news to anybody. Now, those things might be true, but they're not good news. Here's the good news that changes lives. God loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins so that you could be close to God. That's good news. I remember when I was 17 years old, March 25th, 1977, I prayed a sinner's prayer. I had prayed one before, but it was the first time I prayed one and halfway understood what I was praying. I prayed a sinner's prayer and invited Jesus to come into my life to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior. And the woman who shared the gospel with me that night, I want to tell you, I was a sinner. I was a stinker. I had all kinds of problems in my life. And you know what? She didn't talk to me about my sin. She didn't talk to me about my problems. She just told me that God loved me, that God cared about me, that God would help me with my life. She said I was the easiest fish she ever caught. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that the way the gospel was presented to me, it wasn't hard to receive. That Jesus loved me, He cared about me, and He would help me with my life. And I wanted that kind of Jesus in my life to come in to forgive me of my sin and to help me. And you know, it began at that point. That over the next several months, God brought other people in my life, and my life just began to change radically. And within a year, I had been filled with the Spirit, totally sold out to God and called into ministry. But it was the gospel, the good news of God's grace. See, we need to communicate the right message to the world, to the lost, to the unchurched, even to the backslider. That one that knows what's right needs to be in church serving God, and they're not. We need to communicate the right message to those people. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And we need to check ourselves sometimes and say, am I wise in the way that I act towards outsiders, people that don't come to church? Am I wise in the way that I deal with them? What do I need to change in my behavior or my conversation if I want to bring people to the Lord? How do I need to change? Make the most of every opportunity. How can I make the most of every opportunity? See, we need to be ready. We need to be in prayer and prepare ourselves so that when an opportunity is before us, we're ready to make the most of it. And you know, not just talking about spiritual things, but just in general, people miss opportunities usually because they didn't even see them. They weren't even looking for it. And so they miss opportunities. And I'm telling you, that is so true in witnessing, reaching out to other people. Most of the time we miss opportunities because we weren't ready. We weren't looking for an opportunity. We need to pray and be prepared. The harvest is white. It's ready. And so we need to go out ready, looking for an opportunity. What did he say one more time? Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. So don't miss those opportunities. Verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. He doesn't say let your conversation be full of doctrine, rules and condemnation, religious jargon. He doesn't say talk about this preacher and that preacher that you heard on TV, or this book and that book. And what's it supposed to be full of? Grace. Let your conversation be full of grace. Now, first of all, I want to tell you, the word grace needs to be coming up in our conversations. But more than that, it is the overall attitude, the overall influence of our conversation. It needs to be grace. It needs to be full of grace. Did he say full? Full of grace. Full of grace. That our conversation is full of grace. I tell you, for most believers, if you listen to their conversation now, even when they're talking about the Lord, they're going to be talking about this doctrine and that teaching and this thing and that and how we're against this and that. And you know, it's bad out in our world, all the sin and all these people. Oh yeah, and there's a little bit of grace thrown in there maybe if we get around to it. No, we need to talk about grace. It needs to be the subject. And even when we're not specifically speaking about grace, our conversation should just be full of grace. Seasoned with salt. Now, there's two interpretations of this phrase here. One is that salt as a seasoning, a flavoring, that it is referring to the grace, that grace is salted throughout your conversation. And I think that's good. The other interpretation, though, is that seasoned with salt, it's saying that your conversation is full of grace. But then salt being a healing agent and also an agent that stops decay, that our conversation is full of grace, but there's a sprinkling of that salt in it. Amen. If we speak the truth in love. And I want to tell you very plainly this morning, we're going to speak the truth. We're going to preach the truth in this church, because when people know the truth, they get set free. And we want people to be free. But we need to understand this, our message and our conversation and what we're saying to the world, it's good news of grace. Our conversation is to be full of grace. Our words can be so powerful. We are communicating a message to those around us. We need to realize that. We need to be wise about what we say and let God use our words to communicate His message of grace to people. Ephesians 4:29, in the NIV it says it this way, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Now that word benefit there is another way that they chose to translate the word grace. The King James says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. But you see, the point is that we need to put a bridle on our mouths. Amen. That's what the Bible says to do. In fact, the Bible says if any man seems to be religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, his religion, he deceives himself, and his religion is vain. It's futile. So we need to put a watch over our mouths and not allow ourselves to be ugly, to be critical, to say negative things to people or about people, but instead only say what is good for building others up to minister grace to people. You realize that Paul opens and closes all of his letters with grace. All of his letters. His opening salutation, grace and peace to you. Here's an example from Romans 1:7. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his normal salutation. And his closings were always something like this. In the last few verses of every book that he wrote, you will find something like this. Romans 16:20. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. I'm telling you, grace was a big deal to Paul. He called himself the chief of sinners. Here was a man who had persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He had put people in prison, hurt people. He stood by as Stephen was stoned, the first Christian martyr, stood there and watched and held the clothes of those that stoned him to death. And he said, I am the chief of sinners. Paul knew all about God's grace. And in all of his message, in all of his writings, I tell you, you'll find grace. It's at the beginning and the end of every letter. He emphasized grace. And church, I don't know how it is that so much of the body of Christ today has gotten so far from the message of grace, but I'm glad this is Grace Church. Amen. And we want it to be about grace. God's grace is for everyone. You know, sometimes we say the right things, but the attitude in which we say things sometimes tells on us, shows what's really in our heart. If we don't watch ourselves, we'll look at people as bad sinners bound for hell. Well, they are. Now, we need to see them as those that Christ died for, who if they'll just believe the gospel, they'll be saved. Amen. Their sin's already been taken care of. They just have to put their faith and trust in Jesus. It's to everyone that believes. We got to tell the good news of God's grace. Now, before I go any further, I want to tell you something. I see in the body of Christ right now so much anger. We need to be angry and sin not. Listen, so many in the body of Christ right now are lashing out at people in the world. I want to tell you something. Nobody is going to come to Jesus through that kind of spirit. It is God's kindness that wins people, that draws people to repentance. And we need to reach out to people with love and grace, not with judgment and condemnation. No, ours is the message of reconciliation. We talked about this passage just last week, but we're going to go through it again. Sometimes we need to see to hear more than once. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse 16 and go all the way through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. See, we got to change the way we look at people. We need to see people the way Jesus does. We need to see those people as somebody that God loves, somebody that Christ died for, that's going to be a new creature in Christ. We look at the outside, I tell you, we see the way they look, we see the things they do, we see all of those things on the outside that are wrong. But we need to not regard anybody just after the flesh anymore from a, NIV says, worldly point of view, and instead see them the way God sees them. Listen, It goes on, it says, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the ministry of Grace Church. It is the ministry of reconciliation. It is seeing people reconciled to God, brought into relationship with Him. I have met some people. Well, it's not my place to judge another man's servant, but I'm telling you that our ministry is the same as the Apostle Paul. Our ministry is to minister reconciliation to people. It is to see people restored in their relationship with Jesus, to see people brought in by the power of the gospel, the good news of God's grace. Amen. Verse 19 says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He does not count their sins against them. I'm sorry if that wrecks your theology, but I didn't write it. Jesus spoke it to Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote it, that God is not counting their sins against them. Absolutely amazing grace. And I want you to know, it is no accident, again, that this is Grace Church. This is a church that is about grace. Amen. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And as I said, we're going to preach the truth because that's how people are set free. But we are not going to condemn people. Remember, he doesn't count your sins against you. The people that we encounter that are lost, are out of fellowship with the Lord, maybe they're a Christian, but they're not living a Christian life. They're not where they should be in their relationship with God. Listen, God is not counting their sins against them. It is by faith in Jesus Christ that they are forgiven. Now, sin has consequences. Everybody hear me. Sin has consequences. Sin is stupid. Sin will mess up your life. Ultimately, sin will destroy your life. The book of James, chapter 1, the Bible tells us that sin brings death. People need to be set free from their sin. But I'm telling you this morning, the law is powerless to set people free. We studied that last week. Amen? The law is powerless to set people free. The only thing that can set people free from sin is the grace of God. It is His power and working in our life. I tell you, we've got to preach this message. We've got to share this truth with them. The gospel of the good news of grace. Amen. We need to reach out to people and show them God's love. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, we need that same attitude that we allow God to make his appeal to people through us. Be reconciled to God. God wants a relationship with you. He loves you. Now, if we are his ambassadors, his representatives, I tell you, we need to ask ourselves, well, how would he appeal to them? Because that's what I should do if I'm representing him. He's making his appeal through us. How would he see this person? How would he treat them? How would he, or what would he say to them? See, Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners. I think we should be. You need to be very wise about who you're close to and who you fellowship with, but I'm telling you, we're not going to reach any sinners if we shun them and have nothing to do with them. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus would go and eat with them. It's It's real quiet in here. We need to talk to people about grace, that Jesus died for them, that He loves them. Don't talk to them about doctrine. Don't tell them everything they're doing wrong and how they need to change. If they want to bring up their sin, then tell them the truth, that He is not counting their sins against them, that He forgives and He cleanses, and that they can be free. Amen. That's good news. Listen, verse 21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Tell them about the gift of righteousness, that God has taken care of their sin. He has taken care of their past. He has made them righteous and given them right standing with Him. It's all by His grace. See, we're so concerned about sin, He's already taken care of it. And as I told you last week, we're to be fishers of men. You don't clean fish before you catch them. But here's some good news for the body of Christ. We don't ever clean them. He's the one that cleans them. He washes them in His precious blood. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And yes, God may use us at times, but too many people are trying to clean people up so that they can come to church or come to Jesus. When we try to correct people and clean people up, try to get all the junk out of their lives, we end up with the law. Nobody can live up to the law, and the law is powerless to make you righteous. So here's the message the unchurched hears too much of the time from the church. I need to be a better person and stop doing things and start doing other things. That's the message that most of the world is hearing from the body of Christ. And that's not grace, that's works. I need to stop this, and I need to stop doing that, and I need to do this, and I need to be like that. That's the message they're hearing. That is works. That's the law. Stop this, and don't do that, and do it this way. That's the law. The message of grace is that God has already paid the price for your sin to set you free. And that if you'll receive Jesus, you'll be a new creation in Christ. Amen. You need to give this up. You need to stop that. If you'll do this and do that, then you can have this free gift. We talked about those kinds of free gifts last week, didn't we? Listen, that's not the free gift that He offers. It truly is free. You can't earn it. It's grace. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then it's no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. If we're going to communicate the good news of God's grace to people, we can't look down on them. Oh, we know better than that. We know we shouldn't, but sometimes believers come across that way to people. We've got to watch the attitude of our heart. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 2 real quick. We're getting ready. I'm telling you, we are getting ready for a harvest that's coming in. Romans 2, 1 through 4. You therefore have no excuse who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? See, we need to avoid judging people. Amen. When you judge people, you're just condemning yourself. We need to acknowledge that not only, listen, not only to God, but to others, that it is God's grace that has saved us. Are y'all hearing me? See, we need to, there's no room for boasting. We need to get rid of all the pride. And to other people, if we want to communicate the grace of God, we got to let them know, I'm saved by grace. It is just God's grace at work in my life. Not anything I've done, it's His goodness and His grace and His power that's at work in my life. Strange to me, but if you listen to what people say about church, some of those who are so opposed to church, they say, they just judge me. I don't want to go to church because people will judge me. Well, maybe it's just conviction they feel. Maybe it's just an excuse sometimes. But we need to do our best to remove that misconception. It is the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It's not the fear of hell. I tell you, that only works for a little while. I heard about somebody that said that they served God because they were afraid of going to hell. Well, that's a miserable life. I don't want to go to hell either. But I serve God because He loves me and He's good to me and He saved me and set me free and changed my life. Yes. What kind of miserable life is that to scare people from going to hell? No, we want to bring them into a relationship with Jesus. Jesus said to the paralytic man, "Your sins are forgiven." To the woman caught in adultery, He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin." See, we need to tell people that they're free from their past, that they can start over. That's what Jesus was saying to her. "I don't condemn you. Now leave your life of sin." She had a fresh start. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people in this world, they wish they could just start over. They wish they could just have a fresh start. And you know what? You can't go back and fix the past. All you can do with it is put it under the blood of Jesus. But they can start fresh and new today because of the power of the gospel of God's grace. They can begin afresh and new. And I tell you, that's what people need, is to be able to know that His mercy is new every morning. Religious people brought that woman caught in adultery before Jesus. They wanted to stone her to death. They wanted to condemn her. But Jesus forgave her. And Jesus told her, "Leave your life of sin." Matthew 21:31 says, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Why would Jesus say such a thing? Because there were religious people that in their pride, they thought they didn't need God's love and grace and mercy. And you see, sometimes those that we think are the worst people, they are prime candidates for the grace of God. They know they need God's forgiveness and His grace. It is though those who by a religious works mentality resist the grace of God. And in their pride, they think that somehow they're going to go to heaven because of their goodness. I tell you, those are the hardest ones to win. We need to see that God's grace is sufficient to reach the worst of sinners. It all has to do with our mindset as we reach out to people. But I believe we're about to reap a great harvest that God has been preparing us. And so we need to have the right mindset and attitude. Be ready. Be ready that when sinners come in and when you're talking to people who are living in sin, that you minister God's grace to them. You know, we're living in this perverse generation where many people want to call wrong right and right wrong. And sometimes in our righteous indignation, we want to stand up and condemn them all. But that's not our ministry. That's not our job. Our job, yes, we stand up for righteousness. Yes, we preach the truth. But we want to minister to the world God's grace. And I tell you, we need to be careful about our spirit and the attitude that we have towards people. Well, what do we do about sin? You tell them Jesus forgives them and He wants them to be free. What if they're caught in some sin? Galatians 6:1, brothers, if someone's caught in a sin, now I know this is primarily talking about other believers, but if someone's caught in a sin, well, I just have to tell you, I just seldom ever see this practiced. If someone's caught in a sin, we either ignore it or condemn them. Both are wrong. If someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. We got any spiritual people here this morning? Come on, it's not a trick question. I got two of you. Got any spiritual people this morning? You who are spiritual, restore such a one. in a spirit of humility and meekness so that you yourself are not tempted. But here's our job. It's to restore. You see somebody taken in a sin, caught in a sin? Well, we're going to go straighten them out. No, our job is to restore them, to see them restored and the things of God brought back in their life, and to see them get on in their relationship with the Lord. Listen, if you restore an old car, you make it like new again. You return it to its original condition before the effects of time and use. Our goal is to help somebody caught in a sin get back close to God, to get them back on track. Amen. To see the blessing of God on their life, to see their family made whole, to see them, their finances blessed. Amen. And to see them flourish and being used of God. We want to restore people. Amen. Not condemn people and judge people. I think it's so sad that there are many, many believers out of church, and they feel like, you know, I'm just not ready. I just can't go back to church. I don't want to do that. I tell you, we need to restore those people. We need to show them the way, be witnesses of God's love and His goodness and how He has blessed us and helped us. Amen. That's what a witness does, is tells what they've seen and heard, amen, and experienced. And that's what we need to do, is tell others about how good God has been to us. John 1:16, from the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Amen. And communicate that message to the world. Whatever their sin is, whatever their weakness or their fault, whatever their struggle, I'm telling you, God's love is enough, and His grace is sufficient. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Leave the convicting to the Holy Spirit. Let's let the cleansing of the blood of Jesus clean them up. Amen. And the cleansing from every spot and blemish takes place from the washing of the water of the Word. But I tell you, it doesn't happen by condemnation and judgment. We need to speak this message of grace to everybody. John 1:14 again. The Word made flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. We are the body of Christ. We are members individually. We are members of Christ. We are the followers of Christ. We are Christ's disciples. We are His representatives, His ambassadors. Shouldn't we be full of grace and truth? This gospel of grace has the power to change lives. It has the power to reach many people. I just want to share a couple more verses with you to encourage you, and then I'm going to close. 2 Corinthians 4:15, Paul says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to God. Grace is reaching more and more people. I'm telling you, the grace of God, the good news of God's grace has the power to change lives. It has the power to reach a lot of people. More and more. And He says, thanksgiving will overflow to God. Well, we're in the right season for that, aren't we? I tell you, I just believe we can see that many, many people come to the Lord. And oh, what joy, what gratefulness, what thanksgiving there is when we see that. Colossians 1 and 6, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. I believe the Lord is helping us to get a deeper understanding of God's grace, so that we can share it with others, because it's going to change a lot of people's lives.